Like to call a meeting of the HDC Audit Committee to order, and I note the presence of a quorum. First item in the agenda is approval of the minutes of the members' meeting held on January 26, 2021. Do I have a motion?
I move.
Okay, second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? There being none, motion carries. Okay, Rich Froelich, the agenda items for all of us to listen with rapt attention.
Thanks, Harry. We'll start off with a COVID-19 update by Eric and me. Then either Mary or Kathy will give you the first quarter financial statement review. Then Ellen will give you the debt and investment reviews, while Mary Hom will give a report on the credit risk exposure and an internal audit report. So that's what we have on tap for today.
Okay. Thank you. Very good. So we'll start with the COVID-19 item.
Yeah, great. Thank you all. I think we just kind of want to give you a broad outline, and we'll probably a little bit more in the board meeting. But, you know, we are, as you're probably reading everywhere, kind of taking steps for our eventual return to the office. So we've done surveys on an ongoing basis to see where people are and how people are feeling. And we did that again recently. We're also doing everything we can to ensure our physical space has been, you know, properly prepared and incorporates all the guidance that we have from the city and the federal government and the state. We're all continuing for the most part to work remotely. We have some low attendance for folks who are working and administering the office and doing some basic functions that happen out of there, but it's been significantly remote. The city, as you've heard though, is asking for some return in what they're calling a periodic and regular basis beginning the first week of May. And even though that kind of gets expressed as just this direction by fiat, it is backed by science, and basically what folks have been saying is that there's an expectation that the models will show that the cases due to increased vaccination will cross over sometime at the end of April, and you'll see a steep decline in cases, and the transmission rate should be declining. So those are kind of going to be objective signals of where it is. We also expect that there'll be very high rates of vaccination by that point. There's significant, almost 100,000 vaccines being administered a day in New York City. You're seeing nationally 2 million to 3 million, and we hit 4 million vaccines being administered over the weekend. And also the city has set up employee vaccination sites that HDC has access to as well. So all employees, I mean, just today, they went to everyone over 16 in the city, but prior to that, in the last week and a half, all the city employees have had access to vaccination sites that have been set up for employees. So that's progress, and there's reason to be optimistic on that. But it also is a period, as you can imagine, of tremendous uncertainty when you see these variants circulating in other places, particularly if you look at Michigan right now, it's a huge concern. But the expectation is that the city and the country will ultimately follow the kind of path that Israel's been on, where once you reach a certain level of vaccine saturation, it really does bring those numbers down significantly. So Rich is going to talk a little bit more about the portfolio and asset management, but I'll just say this briefly. There is as you can imagine, whenever these kinds of crises come up, it's almost like we all are doing multiple jobs, because there is so much activity on the federal, state, and local level in terms of policy and program adjustment and legislation to respond to. There's so much kind of federal stimulus being proposed, both the most recent stimulus and recovery bills. And when you just think about what's happened on the care package, but now there's this infrastructure piece that's coming through, and we're all kind of working to digest it and figure out where that's going to go and how housing fits into that. So just a huge amount of activity. We did also get the 4% credit fix in the last bill, which HDC has been working on for a long time. That adds, we've estimated, about $200 to $250 million of additional equity per year into New York City transactions. And a lot of that, because it comes with the 4% with the bonds, that a huge amount of that will come early in the year. We've got about $300 million of volume cap as of right at the beginning of the year, and expect another roughly $250 million for June transactions. So about $550 million of our $770 million will come in the first half of the year, meaning a huge chunk of that equity will also be available at the beginning of the year. So we expect, you know, there are bright spots at this point on some of the federal work that's happening. So I'll leave it there for a minute. And Rich, I don't know if you want to talk about some asset management pieces, but please feel free.
I just have one question. Is the city mandating that employees receive the vaccine?
No, there's no mandate anywhere. In fact, I don't even think that's possible under an emergency use approval. So there is no, it's all voluntary. And in fact, you know, it's, I don't know if Suzanne or anyone else, I don't want to be an expert on the law about this, but it's really, you can ask someone if they've been vaccinated, but you can't ask them why or why not at this point. So, and maybe ever on that, but so we are tracking there. We are asking people whether they've been vaccinated, and significant shares of our staff have been either vaccinated or partially vaccinated. I myself have been vaccinated at this point, I'm happy to say, and others have been as well. But we're not all the way there, right? And there are going to be folks who opt out for any number of reasons. So that's the longish answer, Denise, but happy to talk more if you're interested.
Yeah, Eric, are we going to go for an increase in the planning capacity from the 15.5 billion?
I think we are probably doing that, yes, on an annual basis. We're particularly given the NYCHA work, we're going to assess that on an ongoing basis. But my guess is, you know, we used to kind of skip a year here and there, but my guess is we're going to probably be on a steady flow request for that each year.
I'm going to jump in with a little bit about the portfolio and the like, and if there are further questions, Terry's on as well, if necessary. So we continue to get a few requests for assistance, people still taking some money out of reserves. We've started people back on funding full escrows for everything. And we see a pretty strong performance. As we've experienced over the last year, there have been isolated instances where people have had challenges, and particular smaller projects, because they can really, you know, feel that relatively quickly. We are getting a lot of requests for modifications, interest rate changes going lower. We have some flexibility there. When Mary does the report, you'll hear that the first quarter was very good. And so we have room on interest rates to do some things where it's necessary. And so we are, you know, taking those into consideration. We have a process in place where people, where we really expect owners to provide a lot of information so that we can figure out whether what's going on, whether we need to do anything or the like. And so we also meet very regularly, me with Terry and members of her team to kind of review where things are, as well as our loan servicing folks, to sort of make sure that we stay on top of it. So we have a constant sort of feedback loop, and owners know to reach out to us with challenges and questions. We also will see there's a fair amount of money that was part of the COVID relief bill that got passed last month, that will also flow through, and you see that as part of the state budget, the process for the rental assistance, and that too will probably flow through to our projects. One of the benefits for affordable housing developers is that they're more familiar with government programs, and so on some level they'll be, I think, better positioned, and they're also used to some of the information gathering that will be a part of that process. So we do expect that that will flow through as well. But we continue to sort of stay on top of things. You know, we're glad to report that overall the portfolio continues to perform well. Are there any questions about that?
None.
Great. Well, that's the good news. And as Eric always likes to remind, we remain vigilant in case things change, because this is sort of a moving piece. But there are more resources available, and that I think will be helpful to the extent that if people have, in particular, we're super sensitive to the issue about eviction. We don't want there to be rental cliff. So we're going to work very closely with our owners to make sure that to the extent that, that resources are available, that the tenants and they can access them, so that we don't have a major disruption. And that is a super high priority for us. Thank you.
The infrastructure bill, it's likely that the case will have to be made that housing is infrastructure. Whatever I think you guys would want to see the industry do, you might want to start calling that out pretty quickly to help carry that message.
No, and that's really important. And we do that through a variety of our memberships. We've been in constant conversation with NCSHA. As you know, I'm currently the president of NALFA. So we have sort of access through the larger industry groups. And obviously all of our partners, as you know, that we engage with to sort of make those arguments, the housing conference, the other NACSAFA, all the different folks that we work with to sort of make sure that we advocate for housing. And you're right. And what's interesting is that if the infrastructure bill goes in as a through the same method that that they got the COVID relief bill, then there may be limits on the time impact. So that makes it a little bit tricky because the costs can then continue on after the 10 years and there's a limit. So we'll see how that plays out when it comes to some of the tools that we really want, like bond type tools, changing the volume cap rules and the like. So we'll see, but we're definitely on top of that. Elizabeth and Jessica and other folks, we really have a strong team on the advocacy side, and we coordinate really well with the city and state broadly to be able to do that.
Yeah, I don't see infrastructure going any other way other than the same as the COVID relief bill. I don't see any Republican support at this point.
Right, just real quickly too. I mean, that is part of, you know, I mentioned almost having a second job when these crises come up, and that's a big piece of this. But there is in the proposed about $213 billion for housing, not counting some of the other fixes that could happen or FFB or any of those things. And there's about $40 billion for public housing, for example, that's included. So, you know, Denise, definitely we are making that argument that housing is infrastructure, and, you know, we'll continue to do that with all of our partners, as Rich just outlined.
Okay, thanks. The next item on the agenda is the first quarter financial statements. That can be Rich or Mary or...
I'm here. Good morning, everybody.
Okay.
Good morning. I was having some technical difficulties this morning. Okay. Despite operating for over a year under the restrictions posed by the COVID-19 pandemic, the corporation has continued to carry out its financial activities with relatively few interruptions. The results of the first quarter of the fiscal year 2021, covering the period November 1, 2020 through January 31st, 2021, provides an overview of the financial position of the corporation. In the first quarter of the fiscal year, the corporation's net income was $75.5 million, a 17.8% increase compared with the same period a year ago, resulting from higher revenues from interest income and loan-related fees. Though this increase was offset by an almost 50% decrease in earnings on investments as a result of the current low interest rate environment. Total assets were at $22.6 billion, an increase of $639.8 million, or 1.9% from fiscal year end 2020. The increase was due to the corporation's mortgage lending activities, as mortgage advances in the first quarter was in excess of $1 billion. HDC's mortgage loan portfolio, which comprised of 77.5% of total assets, has performed well. Delinquency rates have remained below 1%, and HDC staff continue to monitor the loan portfolio and stand by ready to act upon issues as they arise. Total liabilities were at $19.1 billion, an increase of $564.3 million, or 3% from fiscal year end 2020. There was a net increase in bonds payable of $305.7 million. Bond issuances in the first quarter was at $822 million, offset by $514.2 million in principal repayments. Net position at the end of the quarter was $3.5 billion, an increase of $75.5 million from normal operating activities. This concludes my remarks. Any questions?
Any questions? Okay, well, there being none, then we'll go on to the debt report. Ellen?
Okay, thank you.
The corporation's debt report is as of February 28th, 2021. Last debt report presented to the audit committee was as of December 31st, 2020. During this time, the corporation did not issue any new series of bonds. There are bond redemptions in just one series of multifamily secured mortgage revenue bonds, or mini open, in the amount of $21.13 million. The corporation's debt outstanding as of February 28th is approximately $13.38 billion, and the corporation's debt capacity stands at $15.5 billion. Questions?
Any questions? There being none, then we'll go on to the investment report.
Okay, thank you. Corporation's investment report is as of March 22nd, 2021. The funds under management totaled approximately $5.36 billion, and this report reflects our routine investment activity. Questions?
Okay. There being no questions again, the credit risk exposure, who's going to handle it for Mary?
No, I'm here. Good morning. Okay. Today's report details the corporation's counterparty exposure as of February 28th, 2021. The previous report to the audit committee was dated December 31st, 2020. There were no rating agency actions of note, and there were no new approved counterparties. HGC's counterparty exposure remains diversified, with the largest exposures continuing to be with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Investments rated AA or higher were 47% of total investments versus 44% at the last report, while investments rated BBB or not rated were 31% of total investments versus 32% at the last report, and these investments are fully collateralized by U.S. Treasury agency securities and or Federal Home Loan Bank letters of credit. Finally, HDC's exposure to liquidity providers was unchanged at $348.8 million. Any questions?
I guess there are none. So then we'll go on to the internal audit report, Mary.
Great, thank you. Since the last report to the audit committee on January 26, 2021, two audits were completed, the 2020 employee expenses audit and the 2020 LIHTC compliance audit. On the 2020 employee expenses audit, the objectives were to evaluate the effectiveness of internal controls over employee expense reimbursements and other related expenses, and to ensure they were appropriate, properly authorized, and accurately recorded, and to evaluate and test compliance with corporations' policies and procedures relating to employee and other related expenses. We determined that management has effective controls in place to ensure employee reimbursement and vendor payments are properly authorized, appropriate, and accurately recorded. Our review of the selected expenses determined that employees generally complied with the policies and procedures for processing employee reimbursements and vendor payments. And just to remind the members, this audit is required to be performed each year pursuant to the 2003 MOU with the city's Department of Investigation. On the 2020 LIHTC compliance audit, the objectives were to determine if adequate controls were in place to ensure that IRS regulations and compliance monitoring activities for LIHTC projects were followed, to ensure asset management and LIHTC project owners and agents maintained records in accordance with IRS requirements, to determine if LIHTC owners were notified on a timely basis of deadlines, tracked for compliance, and reported non-compliance projects in accordance with the IRS compliance monitoring requirements, to determine if all LIHTC projects were inspected according to the IRS reporting requirements, and to determine if LIHTC monitoring fees were accurately calculated, billed, and collected. We determined that opportunities exist to improve LIHTC compliance monitoring activities and the associated internal controls. With respect to policies and procedures, we noted that while policy and procedure documents exist for certain steps of the process, one comprehensive document that provides specific guidance on the responsibilities for each stage of the compliance monitoring process would be beneficial to streamlining and controlling the process. Management has agreed to address this issue by compiling a comprehensive procedure document. With respect to the timeliness of annual owner certifications and on-site inspections and audits, management should formalize a review and approval process for extensions and add staff coverage for compliance file review. Management has agreed to address this issue and will be assessing staffing needs as part of the corporation's overall review of staffing capacity. That concludes my report. Are there any questions?
Okay. I don't see any questions, so.
Thank you.
Thank you. And any other business? The only thing I have is from time to time, I tease everybody based on the financial performance, we should do an IPO. But I think given the change in the marketplace, we should consider it a SPAC. So if there's no other business, I would like to call for a motion to adjourn.
I move.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? There being none, the motion carries and the audit committee meeting is adjourned. Thanks.